Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. You were laughing when I said resources, right?
I was, and then I started smiling, and it made you smile. And for those listening, I bet you could tell Daniel was smiling, especially toward the end.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Okay. So let's get straight into the question for today. This question is all about downtown. So here's the question. What advice would you give me to launch a campus in the downtown area of my city? All right. So things that we know about downtown, typically growing population. Yes. Sometimes you have this sense of gentrification happening, and the thing that you need to really figure out is this downtown a like, are people living, playing, right, and eating there, or are they just working there?
Right.
So let's talk about the former, where it's okay, this is a downtown where the city is wanting to keep people downtown. Right. It's not necessarily, it's not like Dallas where it's just full on all business district and
right,
but it's maybe more Austin, right? Or it's more these cities that are just like, no, go to downtown, live downtown. It's cool to be downtown. And it's just continuing to grow in population of in regards to who lives there. But it's the whole live, work, play idea of downtown. So what advice would you give a campus pastor, or even a church planter, when they're thinking about launching a campus in that kind of a downtown area?
I would say know your zoning, know your ordinances, like for things like parking, especially on Sunday morning. You better do a serious, serious parking study. Mm. You want to look at what's the public transportation like around there. Is there a really strong bus route nearby? And does it run on Sunday morning? I don't care if it runs Monday to Friday. Does that same route run on Sunday morning? Mm. If you're lucky enough to be near a metro, that is an amazing, amazing asset. So it's an undervalued asset in my opinion, because you know, you've heard me talk about before, we would blanket those with rave cards in five stops in either direction, because those are the people, those are your potential people. They can't walk there, but they can pretty much walk to their stop and get off at yours. Mm-hmm. So things like that, I mean, that is the first most important thing. You know, usually I say demographics, but parking can kill you. If you're lucky enough to have a parking lot in whatever space you're renting, then you got to look at the egress of that. Because if you're ever going to have more than one service, you have to be really concerned about, okay, how fast is it going to take to turn around this campus for another service, turn around the parking lot for another service. So there's things like that that you... I know I just went straight to the stewardship side of my brain, but I may know a little bit about this subject having done this in DC. So
talk about parking for a little bit. Do you think in launching a campus or a church plant in this kind of downtown area that you'd have to provide complimentary parking, free parking for people?
No, because they're unlike suburban people. They're used. Mm. They know, hey, if I park somewhere in the city, I'm going to have to pay for it. Mm. But on a Sunday morning, a lot of times, you know, if it's metered, there's not meters, you know, running. Now, also, there was crazy laws in D.C. That gave churches the right to park. Like churches were often in a neighborhood. So if you were renting a church building or you were doing church there, you could pretty much park anywhere you wanted to on the street. Mm. When you got out of the district, that flipped. But I mean, you know, one of the things you have to be careful of and even train people on is the importance of being a good neighbor. So sometimes our church goers would block somebody in their driveway.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and it's just like, no. We want to be, and we know that you're from, maybe you're from just outside this community where you it was close enough to for you to drive, but you don't live here. Well, remember, you know, the guy that lives two blocks from the church on Sunday morning, we don't want him to hate Sunday mornings because we block his car in half the time.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. So on that note then, if with the whole rave card idea, I love that. Did you have a plan in place for your volunteers to clean all the rave cards that people chucked too? Or did you just kind of mass give and just... You kept on going.
No. So what we would do is, I mean, there's a way that you do this too, by the way. There's actually psychology behind it. So if I hand you, so this is like a stack of postcard size cards or slightly smaller. They're called rave cards, even though this is, you know, church and a rave. But it was something that, you know, people are getting off the metro stop and you have to know, again, the ordinances. I knew that I couldn't be within 30 feet of the top of the escalator. But man, once you get off of that, then if I could get one or two people to take them, then the next, I don't know, 40 people may take one.
Yeah.
As soon as one was rejected, I had to burn it, meaning I had to put it on the bottom of the stack, because if nobody wants a card that somebody else rejected, that sounds really weird, but it's, you know, you're not even thinking about it when you're walking through and whether or not you're taking a card back.
That's fascinating.
It is. So anyway, so we trained staff on, or not staff, we trained volunteers on all this. And then part of that was after you're done, like the last thing that you're doing as part of your shift is you're going around, you're doing basically a circle walk around and picking up any cards that people discarded and throwing them away.
Yeah. Okay. So start times. It's the downtown area is interesting because you're either going to find like a venue that seats 100, 200 people or a venue that seats thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of hard to find that middle ground. What advice would you give a church that's in this situation and they're like, okay, well, we found a venue that's affordable and it fits like 150 people, 200 people. What would you say in terms of service times with launching? Would you say start with two?
No.
It's a multi-site church.
I would say if I'm starting at a traditional 11 o'clock hour, half of what I'm going to get is prodigals. I'm going to get people who maybe went to church with their grandmother, or they went to church when they were little and then they moved, you know, they went to college and moved to the city and, you know, they may be newly married or not married yet, or who knows what life is bringing up now, but suddenly there's a church there and something pricks their heart and they find it interesting enough or they're curious enough to go. So I know that's a long way to answer this question. An 11 o'clock traditional service time is what I would go with because it gives people the opportunity to go out to eat with somebody they meet afterward. It is still early enough that you can often find a venue that's dark on Sunday mornings, meaning that it's not running. So I loved performing arts theaters. So that was a time where they were quote unquote dark. And that's why I use that terminology. Movie theaters the same way. But you know, that way I can then do it. I can always do an earlier service if I need to, an overflow. If I do something middle of the road, like 10:30 or even 10, it's harder for me to add a second service. Because you know, I'm not going to add a second service until we have a problem for a few weeks. Because I know I'm going to have looky-loos the first couple weeks and some people are going to drop off. So I want to be careful about adding that second service and then splitting the momentum. And it also takes more people to run two services.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, even if you had a launch team of like 75 people and the venue sat 150, you'd still only launch with one service?
I would only launch with one. Yes. And then, okay, so.
Because you're going to pack that. Yeah.
Right, right. But unless you've done, we've talked about this before on the podcast, unless you've done a good, good job, and most people don't, but if you've done a good job of getting all the looky-loos out, then great. If you've had multiple weeks of prayer gatherings at that time, mm-hmm. and you haven't passed out raid cards to the community, you've just leveraged your launch team and anybody from whatever other parts of the congregation that meet in other places that want to come out and support, you know, awesome. Come look now. Come pray now, because we're going to need your seat for lost people on launch day. The other thing that you have here is you've got the opportunity for an incredible story and celebratory time for momentum. So this is a quick visual win. If we start with one service, and oh my goodness, there were so many people that we had to start a second service. Yay! Whereas if I start with two services and they're only 50 to 60% full, and then they're only 40% full, then it looks like we have no momentum. We just lost it. Whereas if I just had one service, now I've got 80% and everybody still feels like it's full, and I still may wait a couple more weeks before I pull the trigger if it's just 80%. We all know the 80-20 rule. That's when you're supposed to add another service. However, I would say in my experience, it needs to be painful, because I need people to go to a different hour that's not as convenient for them, and I need them to commit to go. So I do have to cast a lot of vision for that, but I need the pain. I need the pain to push them to the next service too.
That's a really good point. Well, obviously, there's a million other things that we can be talking about as it relates to downtown, but we could do a
series on this if y'all want to.
It's true. So if you have more specific questions around downtown, just shoot them in speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device, you can record that question and send it in. Or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to hear from you. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time. It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or are trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong.